Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hardman Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple, and welcome to the historic first ever Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. Nigel, for the uninitiated, is the whimsically monikered editorial meeting room. The aim of this podcast, and the ones to follow, is to give you a taster of the news that has been hitting the headlines on our print titles and online at iomtoday.co.im. To do this, I'm joined by newshounds Jess Ward and Sam Turton.
Hiya.
Hello.
Plus Distribution and Promotion's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
Right. Now, after all that spiel, how excited are we about doing this? Sam, you look positively beside yourself next to me there.
I'm always really excited, you know.
You are.
Positivity and all
that. The body language is very... I'm up for this as well. Cross downs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Moving swiftly on. Jess, how are you feeling? Let's have some positivity.
I'm feeling really, really ready for this. I think we're going to have a great podcast today.
Today? And every week, hopefully?
Yeah. I mean, this is the start, so see how it goes.
Katie, do you feel like one of those astronauts when they got up to the moon in 69, making those first steps onto the planet?
If they actually got there.
Oh, God. Here we
go. I'm not a conspiracy. Anyway, no, I feel like I'm definitely in the middle between Sam and Jess here, because I'm definitely not as angry at Sam right now, and I'm not as enthusiastic as Jess.
Okay.
Like a good middle
ground. You're a good middle ground person.
Well, we'll do our best to... raise everyone's spirits, including Sam's, as the podcast goes on. So to quote famous source raconteur Lord Grossman, we're here to deliberate, cogitate and digest this week's Manx News. Coming up this week, we've got a whole smorgasbord of stuff, including Nigel Farage, the Queen, and a couple of new weekly features that will hopefully tickle your fancy. Now, if that doesn't make you want to listen to the whole podcast, I don't know what will. Right, Jess, let's kick off with you. This is quite an interesting story, this, about a UK newspaper. It was the Teesside Gazette, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it's caused a bit of an offence because it said the Manx language is dead.
Yep, the words were, it's extinct. So this was published this year on January the 5th, and they've got their daily graphic, and it shows languages at risk. And here... they point to the Isle of Man and it says, it was spoken in the Isle of Man, but is today extinct.
Now, Venus.
Whew, it has caused some controversy in
a kerfuffle,
I think, is
the correct
term. And so I got in contact with Culture Benin, which helps to protect and preserve and to celebrate this language that does actually exist, if people maybe did a bit of research. And I spoke to Adrian Kane, who is the Manx Development Officer. And so he kind of talked about how he's upset at how people paint stereotypes of the Isle of Man, how we are all obsessed with the TT and we have nothing but just cats with no tails, that sort of thing. So he's saying people need to do their research and so he would appreciate if people did that. I also got into contact with the head teacher of Bun Skull Galia.
Oh, well said, well said.
Been practicing. So that's Julie Matthews. And so she's saying how Manx language is important to cultural identity here in the Isle of Man. And all the students there, they're taught in the language. And I went today to speak to the students for a piece that will be in the examiner next week, just to ask them why they love the language, how easy or how difficult is it to learn. I went and spoke to the head teacher and this is what she had to say.
Shemish Julie Matthews, an Erd Insider via Bun Skull Gilgach. Hello, my name's Julie Matthews, the head teacher from the Bun Skull Gilgach.
We've been talking to you about this UK magazine which has declared that the Manx language is extinct. What are your thoughts on that, really?
Well, obviously we're not extinct. We've been here since 2001. We're building on the work that many others have done in the past. Yes, fair enough, maybe the last native Manx speaker died in 74, but today we've got lots of new native speakers, some of which have learnt from birth, my own children, and some other families certainly have, and lots of children who are learning at school.
Right, Jess, that was obviously very interesting. How many kids, they just get taught in Manx, don't they?
Yeah, it's fluent. So I went in and the head teacher turned around to one of the students and just started fluently speaking in Manx, and I was so surprised. And I was more surprised, I thought it was going to be quite a guttural language, but it's quite soft, I thought.
Mm.
You've been learning a bit of Manx, haven't you, Katie?
Spoiler alert, because this is a feature later on, which we will talk about later, Katie's Manx word of the week, which... maybe a different language every week, but we'll talk about that later. We'll talk about that later.
One interesting point that I wrote about in the article is that the students from that school, 10 years ago, UNESCO they published in their 2009 edition of the Atlas of World Languages in Danger that Manx Gaelic was effectively dead, and they turned around, they sent letters saying, if our language is extinct, then what language are we writing in? And they wrote that in Manx.
Wow.
So I thought it was quite a cool little stand.
Yeah. And just to, before we move on, has the Gazette come back with anything? Or have they sort of humbly apologised in their best Gaelic? Or?
Not as yet. No. I will have to get in contact with them.
Yeah. We'll sort a social media storm, I'm sure. We can come up with a hashtag in Manx. I'm sure Adrian will give us that. moving on from one extreme to the other, Sam, Nigel Farage is coming over, isn't he?
Yeah, he's here on February 1st. He's doing a talk at the Palace. And this week it was a weird experience because I got to do a phone interview with him.
Oh, yeah.
It was it was a bizarre one. I got this phone number. They said, I'll give him a ring. So I gave him a ring in the morning. They said, oh, you'll... He goes, oh, I'll call you back this afternoon.
Sorry, quick question. Was it on a landline or on a mobile?
No, it was his phone number. We've got his mobile number.
Oh, that could be worth a few quid later in the book, couldn't it?
So I rang him up. He said, oh, I'll call you back this afternoon. I'm just about to go into a meeting. And it was Mike Wade, who does Island Life. He takes a phone call. He goes, I think Nigel Farage is on the phone for you. I was like, okay. So I was talking to him about... he's been to the island before a few times. It's about the sixth or seventh time he's coming now. And... So I've written a piece about him coming, and how he says the Manx have, it's an interesting identity here because they know who they are. The Manx, you know, we have a real strong identity of community, culture, and it's a really interesting blend of that. And how he thinks that in the whole Brexit negotiations, which he assured me are going brilliantly well once it all gets sorted out, that the Isle of Man's perhaps forgotten about when it comes to the UK and how they think about us on the world stage, that perhaps a second or maybe in third or fourth foot.
And do you think, just a quick question, obviously... to sidetrack you too much, but do you think he's probably one of the most well-known politicians in Britain because of his Brexit campaigning?
I think he's arguably one of the most... I don't like the thing controversial. I think he's one of the biggest characters in modern British history. And I think he is one of the people who, in 30, 40 years' time, he will be a focus of history lessons and politics lessons in the country. And I think, you know, you'd argue it's probably well worth it with him because he's... Whether you agree with him or not, you can't argue with the impact he's had on British politics and British life, really.
So, if people want to go, how can they go about getting tickets? And how much do they cost?
Well, that's the fun part of this. You can get a ticket and just to see the talk for £30 or £50 if you want a picture taken with him.
Right.
But there's more information about that in The Independent this week on page 2.
Of course. Now, Casey, if people that didn't get their Independent, which... quite frankly, staggers me. But if they didn't and they want to subscribe so they never miss an issue, can you let us know how they can do that?
Yeah, so if you've missed this week's, it's not too late. As well as going to your local shop, you can actually go online. So it's very simple to get access to your Manx Independent. Just go to www.iomtoday.co.im, click on Digital Editions, and you can access past editions. Future editions will be uploaded there every Tuesday and Thursday.
And that's every edition, every the Examiner, the Independent, and the Courier are all up
there.
And then I think TT News, when we do that in the summer, they're all up there as well.
Yeah, TT News, Destination Isle of Man, everything we bring out can be up there at some point.
Great stuff.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Sam, now back to you. There's another. 40 years since the Queen came to the Tynwald Day for the first time, isn't it?
Yeah, she came in 1979. It's quick maths to see. And she came for Tynwald in 1979, and it was announced to a packed house at the Gaiety, which had a variety show, how that the Queen was going to come. So what we've got is this week in the Examiner, it's a story of the five men who brought the message here. Because she doesn't just send things in the post, the Queen. She does things properly.
So as you'd expect.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So there's the five gentlemen, Graham Young, Mitch Jochen, Derek Harrison, Steve Kelly and Dave Newton, who went all the way down to Buckingham Palace to pick up a baton that had a scribe inside of it, and they ran all the way to Liverpool with it.
Flipping heck, how far is that?
Long way. They ran all the way to Liverpool. They were doing 1 hour on, 4 hours off, sleeping in the back of a transit van. Mm. They got to Liverpool and they had a reception with the mayoress of Liverpool at the time, and yeah, they brought that over, but I think about that, actually. You look at running from London to Liverpool, I get tired sitting on the boat going from here to Liverpool.
So is there any plans to mark the occasion at all? Are they having a reunion? Obviously,
the chaps had a little reunion the other week. This is how we heard about it. They brought in the photo album, which was given to them at the time, which marks how when the baton got here, it went on a relay around the island. So it was, in a way, like with the Commonwealth Games does now, in a way. It was taken by athletics groups around the island and school groups. Children, they ran it around the island before it got back to the gate on New Year's Day for the big announcement.
So that's in this week's Examiner, full-page feature. It was a fascinating read. I must admit, I looked at that earlier this week. Talking of running, I went, part of my New Year's resolution, went for a bit of a, I was going to say run, but it was more of a slow jog, to be honest, along South Quay last night. And there's some news about some developments being planning applications going forward there, Sam.
Yeah, it's going to be a new look on the quay there. We've got the nuisance building, which people will know before they moved out to the
So that's
street.
North Quay, isn't it?
No, that's South Quay.
Oh, that's South Quay. I always get them the wrong way around. Nuisance is North Quay. That's next to the one next to the Saddle, isn't it?
You're right, it is North Quay. Right, so nuisance on the North Quay. Is the where the building was there and down to number 22, which is about three or four doors down from that, the whole block there is going to be redeveloped, potentially, if this application goes forward. And they're going to be retaining the nuisance part of the building. Some buildings are going to have to go because they're in derelict state. Other parts will be remaining, just updated a bit for how things are done. But
so what's the application for? Residential, commercial?
It's going to be a cafe downstairs with apartments and flats above on the other side. And on the other side of the quay, which I'm going to trust you and say it's the South Quay.
That's the South Quay, yeah.
The Trafalgar pub is going to come down.
Yeah, so I've spent many a day in there when I was probably not allowed to be in there.
Yes.
And the live music scene in the Traff was when it was actually, the Traff used to bounce quite literally down.
The floorboards were scary.
Obviously it's shut. What year do you think, I believe you were looking at this?
February. In fact, it's shut on the 26th of February 2010.
Wow, is that
a member of Manx Nostalgia told me.
Right, so that's, but it's been a house since then, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, it's been sort of various different attempts to keep it as a house, and this seems to be the final death blow for it, which is a shame, really, because it's always a weird building.
So what are the plans for it now?
It's going to be knocked down along with the garages along that side of it,
yeah,
and they're going to be turned into a six-floor building, which is going to comprise of underground car park, a gym, a swimming pool, a wine bar, and a load of flats.
So that goes all the way up to where the car washing place is?
Is it Bay Wash now, it's called?
Yeah, so go all the way up to there.
Yeah.
So right, okay. And it's going to be one continuous building?
Yeah, it's going to be separated into the two blocks because the end with where the Traff is going to be the more, that's where there'd be the gym and the pool and all that's going to be at that end. And the apartment's going to be on the other side of it towards the, not the swing bridges anymore, it's the lift-up bridge.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're going to have the wine bar on the top floor.
And where are we up to in the planning application?
Well, it's just gone in, so, I mean, it's a problem. Douglas is, in a way, it's a conservation area, so everything that gets done has to be done very accurately and very particularly, because the whole, along the whole of Douglas seafront and including the quay is in this conservation area. So it'll be interesting what happens with it.
Now, obviously, that area, we've talked about, we've heard about the plans for the Lord Street bus station in the past, the Travelodge and the multiplex cinema and stuff like that. Obviously, it's going to be a big area for redevelopment. Jess, do you think this is the way to go to reinvigorate Douglas, as it were?
I think there needs to be a change in Douglas. I think it's become a bit of a sleepy town, really. And so invigorating it with cafes and restaurants, yeah, I think that's the right move, especially around the quay, because it's such a lovely area. But I actually think it's a shame the proposals that they've put in, because it's, I feel like it's a lot of identity. I mean, if you look at the photos which are on in the Examiner on page 8,
yeah,
you'll see that the Trafalgar pub will be knocked down, and I just think it's a really ugly building that it's gonna be replaced with.
Yeah.
It's not got any character compared to what the pub was.
I don't know. I think it's got a different character, I suppose. Biggest way I look at it personally is just that you look at the Traff to me always looks like it belongs in Harry Potter. It always just has that, it has a look of it like that you should be getting, was it butterbean beer?
Yeah, but that's lovely.
Butterbeer.
That's what I like about it. I like how quaint it looks. And for somebody who's not from the other side of the world to see a pub like that, I just think it's amazing. It's so historic. I've never seen many things that old before. So why are you knocking it down?
Okay, what do you think Douglas needs? You know, do we need more coffee shops? There seems to be one every 100 metres at the moment.
I like the coffee shops we have at the moment. Mm. If other people want to open them, that's fine. But I wish they'd stop getting rid of old pubs to replace them with wine bars and coffee shops. Mm. I do think there needs to be some sort of change around that area, though, because like, especially when you first get off the boat, first thing you see is just like a little space for buses to pull in.
I know that's a big thing that leader of Douglas Council, David Christian, he's repeatedly said, and we've covered numerous times over the past year since I've been here, is that he says Douglas needs this reinvigoration, because you look at the Villiers site, that's been like that for a long time. You've got Lord Street. Mm. I mean, the only thing I ever remember being on Lord Street, I vaguely just about remember the bus shelters when they come down. I remember the fair going there once. Aside from that, it's always been this car park. And it isn't great when you say this is the gateway to the island. You're coming off and you got that. And I just think, I think we have to change. We really do. Yeah. We have to move the times. And I think that...
What's the first thing that visitors see when they come to the Isle of Man?
Especially if we're trying to widen
our... with that, it's a bit... embarrassing, really.
We're trying to increase our cruise visitors, and then you come and look at our lovely tarmac, former bus station car park site. Yeah. Right, moving on. Casey, one of our hopefully weekly features we're going to talk about now. I love it. Do you want to talk to us? You fill us in. I don't want to, because this is very much your baby. I don't want to steal your thunder. Go on.
Basically, I spend a lot of my time at work phoning up all of the newsagents and retailers on the island. And some of them have some interesting hold music.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been chatting in the office about our favourite hold music we've ever heard.
Yep.
And so basically we want your favourite hold music, or worst hold music. Or just any hold music, really.
So how people want to get in touch, how can they do that?
Okay, so we've got a hashtag. Mm. So hashtag hold the line on social media.
Yep.
And tell us who you called, what they were playing. So one of the few I get is at Tesco's. Mm-hmm. They have like an instrumental version of an early noughties hit from David Gray.
Wow, that's very niche, isn't it?
Always the same song.
Perhaps his rights were quite cheap and they could, get him in. Yeah, but there you go. Well, it's great. Say Hold the Line. We've used that as our inspiration because we believe that's Kestrel's, is it? Toto's hit?
Yes, so someone... when I was asking around, someone said they phoned Kestrel Insurance once and they did have Hold the Line
by Toto. Absolute banger.
I don't know how you can top that.
No, to be fair, but we're going to try our best to find out more. So if you want to contact us, we're on Twitter and on the Instagrams at IOM News Podcast. Get in touch there with your hold music. Maybe record a little clip if you can, and the expression on your face as you listen to the music. Yeah. And we'll share that with you next week if we get any. Right, moving on. Sports story of the week. That falls to me. And if we should congratulate, a little round of applause to the Maxis that went to the Lancashire Cross Country Championship last week. They came back with a haul of medals. I think there was 37 of them went, and we won about seven. I think about half a dozen medals. I might be wrong there. But congratulations to the women's cross country team who won the title yet again. They seem to be pretty dominant in that category. But that's all over the back page of this week's Manx Independent, like a rash. So if you want to get one, get yourself down to newsagents. Oh, as Katie said before, get yourself to onto our digital subscriptions page on iomtoday.co.im.
Yes.
Now, talking of features, has anyone seen today's Courier? I'm sure you all have. Have you been onto the, because you can look at that digitally as well, can't you?
You can. I haven't had the chance to look at it yet, but I'm sure you
I recommend looking at page 22, especially of those of you who are struggling to sleep at night. I am featured in this week's My Life in the Workplace, which is a feature we carry every week in our job section, which gets people the opportunity to talk about their jobs. Sam, you've done it in the past, haven't you?
I have done it, yeah. I did it back when...
back when it was cool.
Yeah.
Before they started scraping the barrel and gave me a shout.
That's the one, yeah. I mean...
But we've had a varied people doing it in the past, haven't we, Katie?
Yeah, we have all sorts of people sending in, answering the questions. Yeah. And
So you get 8 questions, don't you? And they ask, what's your first job? What your current job entails? All sorts of stuff like that.
What kind of qualifications do you need to do? What's a typical day?
Yeah.
So it's basically just being really nosy about what you're spending your days doing.
So I filled that out this week. It must admit, it took longer than possible. Apparently, an acceptable answer wasn't what your current job title, Dave Norton's handler, was it? It wasn't accepted. But yes.
What was your first job then?
Well, this is actually, spoiler alert, I don't know if anyone wants to read this, but I actually worked at the Peel City Guardian. It was my first job. Peel's own newspaper. I bet if you didn't know that Peel had a newspaper. There you go. So yeah, I worked on that for a bit.
So you kind of worked your way up.
From boy to man, yes. Yeah. As I put in the this piece, I didn't actually know what I wanted to be at that age, so it's just a coincidence I've fallen into the the sports desk, as it were. So if you want to do it, if you feel this is, I'd like to fill in a questionnaire for all my newspapers and get it featured in the paper, how can they do that, Katie?
Well, they can get in touch with us by emailing recruitment@iomtoday.co.im. So the template is the questions that are in the paper, but you can ask Grace, she'll email them over to you.
Is there any particular jobs you want to hear about? I'd quite like to hear from an air traffic controller or someone like that.
That'd be great.
An ambulance driver.
I think they're called paramedics now, Jess. anyone else? Maybe if there's anyone listening, please do email in and we'll get Grace will fire over a question.
Chief Minister.
Chief Minister Howard Big
we
Howie.
We should get Howard Quayle in. We should get
him HQ. Yeah, we'll get him to do that. Okay.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
On to our next feature, This Week in History. Sam, now do you want to explain the concept, or the very loose concept of this, before we go any further?
Okay, so we decided that what we'd do is, in this section is look back at what's happened in Manx history in the news. Mm-hmm. What made the news this week across the island?
Back when?
Oh, way back when. This is another one of them back before I was just a twinkle in the eye.
Oh, God. How far are we going back?
1991.
Oh, God.
Flipping heck. Well, I was a heady 7-year-old at that point, cutting a jib round Wilston Primary School at this point. But I can't say I remember reading the Courier that week. So can you tell me what was on the front page?
Well, it was a tragic week on the island, actually, because it was the death of a pupil at St. Ninian's, Stephen Craig. Mm-hmm. Who died during a PE lesson, and it was the head teacher giving praise to the child who tried to save him.
Ian Carter, so he said, there's quotes from him saying that one of his fellow pupils was doing the initial first aid, wasn't he, because he was a first aider.
It's tragic, but it's,
the story is quite interesting in itself, as I say. It shows you how long ago it was, because they obviously didn't have mobile phones, so someone had to be, there was during a PE lesson, someone had to be one of the people sent back to the school to ring an ambulance, which obviously now you take for granted that there'd be someone with a mobile, one of the teachers, wouldn't you?
But it's amazing how quickly the student responded. It was just a 14-year-old.
It was 14.
Yeah, 14. And like, even today, I know this is a skill that is kind of being encouraged a bit more in for instance, I went to St. Ninian's High School and they've been giving life lessons, and first aid was one of them. So if we can get more students to understand how to help out in a situation, because, I mean, this would take anybody by surprise, but if you had those skills there and then...
Yeah, it would make a massive difference, doesn't it? Two other stories on the front page that week, Sam?
Yeah, we had a former Onken MHK, Peter Caron. The man who once said the white elephants were coming home to roost. He was informing Tim Wood, as he saw it, of the massive house price boom that was about to hit the island, having already hit Jersey and Guernsey, which, of course, he was later proven right if you look at how house price did increase on the island over time. And we've also got a story about a robbery in Ramsey, a sweet shop.
Yes, a poor old lady. She was attacked. She's in her 80s, wasn't she? Two kids went in. Two youths went in and produced a knife as they threatened to rob her, which is actually a shocking headline, isn't it?
That would, it would shock you now if it happened in the Isle of Man, wouldn't it?
So it's just saying. Katie, what's your advert of the week on the front of the Courier this week in history, which of course was January 1991?
I really like top right corner for Toff's nightclub, mm-hmm. yeah. bringing the nightlife back into town.
Home of the sticky carpet, as I'm sure maybe a couple of us are aware. Right, moving on swiftly. Katie, Manx word of the week. Now, we're going to do this before we had the Jess's story, weren't we, about the Manx language dying, but it's alive and well and in this room.
Slightly, yeah.
Slightly? Yeah. Oh, dear.
So last year, I decided I need to learn a new language. What better language to learn than Manx?
Yeah.
That I am Manx. I went to a few classes and then realised I liked my old Wednesday night routine of going to the pub quiz at the prospect. So
the rocks on which many a out of extracurricular activity has fallen off, hasn't it?
Yeah, so I'm still taking an interest in Manx. Maybe I just don't go to class as often as I should.
So is this where you actually reveal during the podcast that this isn't going to be the Manx word of the week every week? Are you going to give us a different language word every week?
I don't know, because now my New Year's resolution is to learn Italian.
Do you think, guys?
Just commit.
It wasn't you that spoke to this paper in...
An anonymous source was said it was interfering with my Wednesday night, so... All right, so have you got a Manx word that we can kick off with?
We do. It's a Manx word that connects to one of the adverts on the front page...
Of the Courier in 1991.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you've got an old copy of it, go just...
Spoiler alert.
Bust it down, find the advert. But, no, the word, which is probably going to be pronounced horribly wrong and... Any Manx speakers listening are going to hate me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Kaga.
Mm-hmm. Kaga.
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 Kaga. Kaga.
You've pronounced it
phonetically. But how is it spelt? Can you spell it out?
But that's me trying to work on the pronunciation. So that tiny R is because the R is not very...
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Go on then, Jess, have a crack at this. You're our linguist.
So the way it's spelt is just... blows your mind because when you say it, it's completely different. So it's about C-A-G-G-E-Y,
mm-hmm.
which to me says K-G-E.
Kagi.
Kagi.
Isn't she made in Chelsea? Yeah. how do you think it said, Katie?
I think it's pronounced Kaga.
Kaga.
Well, this is going to offend all the native Manx speakers on our listening to the podcast this week. Adrian Kane, if you're listening, please do get in touch and put us right. Maybe with an audio clip.
We need your help.
Quite literally. Save this podcast.
So what kind of prompted you to take an interest in languages? Because you're quite fluent in Spanish, you're learning Manx and now Italian, but why?
I just love chatting to people, so obviously the more languages I know, the more people I can chat to. But I just thought, you know, why learn various other language when I don't know any Manx? Because I did take Manx at school. Did you guys take Manx?
Yeah.
At school?
Yeah.
Do you guys feel like that you've got a responsibility in a way as a Manx person to work towards preserving this language?
I often make it my try and say more am I at least. 3 times a month. I think that's a good point.
The Ferry Bridge,
yeah, you have to say. But I think it's this difference between language and culture, isn't there? Like, I would suggest, say I'm a proud Manxman, and I probably, in sporting terms...
But does that not feed into the whole culture?
The language... Yeah, it does, but as Katie says, when you're trying to learn a new language from scratch, it is quite hard. So that's why I totally have total admiration for those kids that are doing it now, and I think that's great. They're all going to be fluent speakers. The one school, I don't know off the top of my head.
Kids, they just absorb it, don't
they? Yeah, it's the best time to learn at that age, isn't it? They all say that about everything. But the kids that were in the Bun School when it opened, however long ago, they must be getting to probably at least teenage years now, maybe even older.
Well, a lot of the kids are saying that their parents speak it quite well. Mm. They must have gone to the school, I'm not sure, but at home.
Yeah.
I always found it interesting when I was teaching English as a foreign language, that you would get, especially when they became teenagers, it would depend on what interest they had, how much English they would end up learning, because obviously a lot of teenage boys would all be playing on the PlayStation. Mm. Computer games all tend to be in English, so they would learn quickly from interacting with other English speakers on the PlayStation or whatever. Whereas I remember teaching a lot of 10-year-old girls who were obsessed with One Direction. So they learned a lot of English because they were watching interviews with Harry Styles on YouTube constantly. But I think one of the drawbacks to learning a smaller, less spoken language is that we don't have TV programmes in Manx to go and watch every night.
Or probably as many people to practice it with.
Yeah, you've got a smaller group of people who you can actually chat to regularly to maintain the level.
Yeah, and I suppose that makes the language even more special in a way.
It does,
just a small pool of people.
Yeah, only the few selected.
I feel, Katie, we've reinvigorated your love for Manx, and therefore we should continue this feature regardless whether you want
My
to do it or not.
Done.
Right, that's it for this week's Maiden podcast, Isle of Man Newspapers podcast. If you've liked it, please do tell your friends, family, and even your pets. Share it on social media. I'm sure it'll be out and about later on. If not, cheese. Until next week.
Bye for now.